I'll be reading 1 Thessalonians. I can't say it. I'm sorry. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
All right, now that all the attention is focused on me. First of all, thank you. Brianna has, I caught her back in the sound booth one of the first days I wore this wonderful contraption, and she was gracious. She looked at me and she said, "Do you need some help?" And I'm not sure what level she was talking about, but she helped with the microphone. And so thank you, Brianna, for that. I want to lodge a complaint. Gabe comes up here and he's so stinking cute. I'm not sure how in the world I'm supposed to follow that. I don't know what to do with that. So, great job, Gabe, as always, and thank you. And you are a handsome young man, I'm telling you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Can you believe it's 5 days till Thanksgiving? Can you believe it? They say the older you get, the faster time travels. And someone gave the analogy, like when you're 3 years old, it's like time travels at 3 miles an hour and you think your birthday's never going to roll around again and Christmas is never going to get here. And then when you're 15, it's 15 miles an hour and it kind of gets closer. But when you're my age, you're breaking all the speed limits and then it just keep coming faster and faster. And I see some of you who are kind of nodding your head like you're going, just wait, you got time to come. It's going to get worse before it gets better. 5 days till Thanksgiving. So in 5 days, much of the world's going to get together. Much of our country, at least, is going to get together and celebrate Thanksgiving. And for many of us, we won't have any problem thinking of things to think about. For many of us, Thanksgiving means good times. Good times with good food and good friends and family members. And so the idea of Thanksgiving is an honored tradition that we celebrate and we look forward to. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time. But for some of us, it's a time of loneliness. For some of us, it's a time when the isolation we already experience feels even worse, hurts even more. For some of us, we've had plenty of reasons this past year to celebrate. There's been milestones that have been achieved. There's been things that have been accomplished. There's been blessings from God that have just overwhelmed you. And so if you try on Thanksgiving Day to think, what am I thankful for? You don't have any problem. You can just list off a row of things. You think how God has blessed you this year. And for some of us, this past year has been a real trial. It's been very difficult. It's been a hardship. It's been a challenge. And so this morning, we're going to focus on the one thing we all have in common, the one reason that we all can come together and give thanks, and it's giving thanks for our Lord, giving thanks for God, giving thanks for our Savior. And we're going to look at Psalm 100 to do that. It's a very short psalm. It's 6 verses, but don't let that fool you into thinking it's going to be a short sermon. But 6 verses in Psalm 100. We're going to use this kind of as our pattern for giving thanks to God. And the first thing we're going to notice when we come to Psalm 100 is we give thanks because the Lord accepts us. He accepts us. Psalm 100, first 3 verses. Read with me if you would. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. verse 1. All the earth is called to shout with joy. Different translations approach that differently. The New King James says, give a joyful shout. The original King James and the Revised Standard says a joyful noise. And the idea here is a song of praise. All the earth is to give a song of praise to God. And it's not about whether or not we're singing on key. It's not about whether or not we're hitting our four-part harmony. It's about the condition of our heart, singing with joy and singing with praises to God, giving thanks to God with joy. Verse 2, all the earth is called to worship the Lord. To serve the Lord and come before him are both acts of worship. And the call to worship includes joyful songs. And the idea here is to sing without reservation, to sing with energy, to sing with joy. And I don't know about you, but it's way too easy for me to get caught in just the repetition. Many of the songs I've sung since I was a child, and many of them I'm very familiar with, and it's easy. It's almost to the point where you can kind of disconnect and still find the words and still get close to the note, but you're really not engaged. And so I appreciate Stuart's song choices here that help bring our minds to the text. So let me ask you this. When we were singing joyful, joyful, we adore thee, were you singing joyful, joyful, or were you joyful, joyful, we adore thee? Were you singing with joy? Now, I want to be careful because I don't know what's in people's hearts. There's times when I am overwhelmed with joy and it expresses itself in tears. So it's I don't want to sit in judgment seat and say, just because I don't see the look on your face that I think I ought to see, that your heart is not in the right place. But let me ask you this. Are you engaged? Are you paying attention to the words? And are you asking yourself as you sing the song, am I expressing these words? Are these words an expression of who I am? Am I willing? Do I think these words are appropriate? And if they are, am I singing with meaning? Am I singing with joy and purpose? The last one, just before we started our sermon. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. If we're not careful, if you're like me, if we're not careful, we can get into automatic mode. We can just go into robot and not think about it and not engage with it and not be a part of it. And so the call here is to participate with boldness, with energy, without reservation, to give God our hearts. In verse 3, the whole world is called to praise and worship the Lord because of what he's done for the entire human race. There's this, oftentimes in philosophical discussions, someone will throw out this idea of how do we know what we know? And how can we know what we know what we know? And that often leads to this thought, well, there's no absolute truth, and we just have to, your truth is your truth, and my truth is my truth, and because we really don't know what we know, and we're really not sure. But the beauty of verse 3 is there's some things that we can know that we know. One of the blessings of God is there's some things that we know that we know. Whether or not the world searches for knowledge in astronomy or philosophy or science, there's some things we can know, and we can give thanks to God because we know the Lord is God. There's some things we can know that we know. We can know the Lord is God. So the whole world can know they are God's creation. And in a world that's constantly searching for meaning, that has value. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Why did God put me here? And if there is a God, and if there's not a God, then why? How can I give a life that seems to have no eternal value? How can I give that meaning? What can I do? And so we look for meaning in philosophy. We look for meaning in New Age mysticism. We try to find meaning in life and in death and in love and in loss. How do we know we have a purpose? And how do we know we have meaning? But we can give thanks to God. Because verse 3 tells us that we are created with purpose and for purpose. It is he who made us. We are his. So we're created with purpose. We're not an accident. We're not some evolutionary mess up. We are designed by God, created in his image, made with purpose, for purpose. We are His, and He has made us. And the whole world can know that God accepts believers as His own. We can give thanks to God because everyone who belongs to Him is cared for by Him. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And as often as someone might be offended by the idea that we're sheep and sheep aren't the brightest animals in the world, the idea is we have someone who loves us enough to care for us. He's the good shepherd. He takes us to clean pastures, still waters. So we can know what we know. We can know that there's a God. We can know that He made us with purpose for a purpose. And we can know that we are His. And because of that, we can give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for His acceptance. We are His sheep. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, that He's the good shepherd. And as we talked about in our communion thoughts, He's the good shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. Does your life have meaning? Do you have purpose? Is there a reason why you're here? God thought so. Jesus thought you were valuable enough for Him to give His life. He's the good shepherd. He lays down His life for the sheep. He willingly and knowingly laid down His life so that you and I and every other human being, as He says in John 10:10, may have life and have it to the full. Have meaning, yes. Have purpose, yes. And have it to the full. We can give thanks to God because He accepts us in that way. Therefore, we can all give praise and worship to God. The preacher's toes are always the first ones to get stepped on with every sermon, because as you're writing this, you think, well, I guess I better listen to this first if I want anybody else to listen to it. And if you're anything like me, I don't have any problem finding something to complain about. It's a gift or a curse, I'm not sure. I don't have any problem finding something to complain about. I can complain about the weather. I can complain about politics. I can complain, well, you just name it. But the idea here is to find reasons to give thanks. And they don't have to be superficial reasons. They don't have to be made up reasons. They can be solid reasons. There's a God. And He made us. And we are His. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by an awesome God who's willing to adopt us into His family, warts and all. We were having a discussion in our class this morning, and we were talking about just the fact that some of our families are in struggle, and some of our families are in strife, and the holidays seem to kind of just amp that up. But we are adopted into the best family, God's family. We're His. He's adopted us. He's taken us into His family. He's made us His own, not as an underling, not as a slave, not as a servant, but as a co-heir with Christ, full-fledged member of the family. And Jesus has gone ahead to heaven to make a place for us there. So yes, we can give thanks to the Lord because He's willing to accept us. Second reason, Psalm 100, give thanks because the Lord loves us. Let's go back to our psalm and let's finish it. Psalm 100, starting in verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So verse 4, the Lord's people are instructed to give Him thanksgiving and praise. And the language here calls to mind an Old Testament temple. Enter His courts, enter His gates. And so the idea is this is an Old Testament passage to speaking initially to Old Testament people, and we're drawing the timeless truths out of that. But if you can just imagine for just a minute walking into the temple to worship God and entering His temple with praise. We're invited to enter the Lord through His gates and draw near to Him in His temple courts. And as God's people and the Lord enter the Lord's temple, they're instructed to do so with thanksgiving and praise. So I ought to be working towards being just as gifted as finding reasons to give thanks to God as I can complaining. I should be equally talented at that. Give thanksgiving and praise as we come into God's presence. Verse 5, Believers instructed to give the Lord thanksgiving and praise. Why? Because of how he looks upon his people. Verse 5, the Lord is good. He is an all-powerful creator. And because of that, he's worthy of our service. Made with purpose, made for purpose, right? He's an all-loving, merciful God who's worthy of our thanksgiving. The Lord is good. Also in that same verse 5, the Lord's love or mercy, as some of your translations say, endures forever. The good news is the Lord's heart will never grow hard or cold. Well, one of the most tragic sights. Okay, let's do it this way. When Jenny and I were celebrating our anniversary, I think it was the 13th anniversary, the minister who officiated the service for us 13 years prior, we were kind of back in the same general vicinity, and he was a good friend, and so we asked him if he would come renew our vows. And so when I talked to him initially, he said, I was looking through my files when you asked if I would come renew your vows. I was looking through some of the weddings that I performed. And he said, so many have ended in divorce. He said, really nice to come celebrate one that's still here. I say that because there's nothing more heartbreaking than to watch two people who are madly in love with each other as they walk down the aisle and say, I do, grow to the point where their hearts are cold toward each other. I just don't care about that person anymore. I don't have feelings for that person anymore. The good news about God is his heart will never grow cold. His heart will never grow hard. Even though some of us have given him some very good reasons to do so. We can give thanks to God for who he is. He's loving and merciful and endures forever. And also, the Lord's faithfulness or his truth, as some of your translations say in verse 5, continues through the generation. So even in a world that's constantly changing, in a world that seems to be evolving and sometimes evolving into a world that we don't even recognize anymore, we have a constant in our God who is with us forever, who is the anchor in life's storms. And because of that, you and I ought to be thankful for God's love. That Old Testament passage has some New Testament connections to it. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, all of us who are in Christ are described as the temple where God's Spirit lives. So that temple imagery brings us into the new world, into the new covenant. Through the Holy Spirit, God, who's characterized as eternally good, eternally faithful, eternally loving, that God makes his home with us by dwelling in us. And because of that, our lives can be characterized by thanksgiving and praise. An attitude of thanksgiving should characterize our worship service. And again, the preacher's toes are the first. I can come in here and just autopilot. But we ought to be people who come in here with an attitude of thanksgiving. We ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. Now let's look at a few New Testament passages. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:10, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts to God, with thanksgiving in our hearts to God. So this attitude of thanksgiving ought to permeate our worship service. We walk in here and instead of griping about something, we walk in here and say, "Pray, thank God we're here. Thank God for you. Thank God for this time we have together. Thank God that God is God and we can know what we know and we are who we are." But that same attitude of thanksgiving should permeate our very lives, our daily lives. Philippians 4, verse 6. We ought not be anxious about anything, but instead present our requests to God with thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17, we ought to do whatever we do, whether it's word or deed, giving thanks to God. I thank you, God, that I'm well enough to dig this trench. I thank you, God, that I have enough income that I can be generous with those who need it. I'm thankful, God. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we ought to thank God continually because we received and accepted the word of God. And as Gabe read for us 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We want to give thanks in all circumstances, for it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So a 19th century Scottish minister by the name of Alexander White. He had worked on this gift of giving thanks to God. He had worked on it so much that he became known by the members of his church as the guy who always gave thanks in his prayers. He just had wonderful prayers of thanksgiving. It didn't seem to matter what the circumstances were. It didn't seem to matter if it had been a good week or a bad week. Nothing seemed to matter. Mr. White could always find something to be thankful for, until one day it was just an ugly, horrible, nasty day. It was cold, it was wet, it was windy, it was miserable. And one of the members of the congregation thought to himself, well, today's the day Brother White is not going to find anything to be thankful for. So Brother White gets up in the pew and he starts to lead the prayer. And he said, Lord, we are thankful today that the weather is not always like this. That's the spirit of thanksgiving. That's what we're called to do. We're called to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And no matter what happens, if we look, we can find. If we look, we can find something to complain about. If we look, we can find something to give praise to God for. And there's times that it's easy to give praise to God. There's times it's easy to be thankful. I'm thankful because you have just bombarded me with blessings and I'm overwhelmed. And then there's times it's just a struggle. It was hard to get up. It was hard to get moving. It was hard to get dressed. It was hard. Life is hard. You're in a season of difficulty, and it's hard to find a reason to give thanks. But the people who are truly people of gratitude are the ones that give thanks in all circumstances. It's easy to give thanks when things are good. It's when things go bad and when things aren't good when we want them to. We're only truly grateful people when we're grateful in all circumstances. So in this season of thanksgiving, let's all give thanks for our Lord. No one's ever done more for me, and many people have done much, much for me, but no one's ever done more for me than my Lord. And I suspect the same is probably true for you. No one's ever done more for you than your Lord. I had two fathers, my bio father and my stepfather, and both of them sacrificed for me. But no one sacrificed like my Heavenly Father, who loved me enough to ask his Son to come take my sins to what should be my cross. And I've got a sister, no brother, but no one's ever taken my sins to the cross. And no one could except Jesus Christ. The one who didn't deserve it took it for all of us. If for nothing else, that's reason to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So in 5 days, when you come together with your family and friends, or if you're by yourself, no matter what you find yourself, you can enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and praise because of who he is. And because of who he is, who you are. If there's any way this church can serve you, won't you tell us how? We're going to stand and sing. This is our invitation to you. Let's stand.